Good morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house. He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. This morning as I was walking through the den, I saw on the screen news that the leader of Yemen has fled the country and is now in Saudi Arabia. He was one of the most trusted allies of the United States, and they believe that Al-Qaeda is taking over that country completely, or will take it over completely soon. And the people were in the streets, and I'm sure some of them were looting and stealing, and they were rejoicing that their leader had stepped down. The world today is being shaken. What better example than that? Governments which were previously believed to be unmovable are trembling, and many have fallen. These include Iraq and Egypt and Libya and now Yemen, Afghanistan years ago, Russia years ago. And kings and rulers are now being driven from their glorious palaces, and you have more or less leadership by gang or leadership by committee in many of these countries. The heat of revolution is affecting most of the Middle East as we sit here today. And aside from civil unrest, different parts of the world are experiencing earthquakes and tsunamis and tornadoes. They seem to be more frequent and of greater strength than ever before. We can only look at Japan and Haiti and the floods in the Midwest and the tornadoes in Joplin, Missouri and surrounding states as examples. I believe it's time to sit up and take notice of the times and look at the historical map and where we are according to God's master plan. If you are a reader of God's word, then shaking up of the earth physically and shaking up of governments on the earth should not surprise you. The Bible tells of this happening in the past many times. And prophets of God predict that it will happen in the future, and it's happening today. This is the future, friends. Today is the future, not 100 years from now, not 500 years from now. And we need to set up and take notice. I want us to look at our text for today. It's from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 29. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible or one from the pew rack in front of you as I read Hebrews 12, 26 through 29. And this is what we're talking about is God. This is what the author of Hebrews is talking about at this point, beginning with verse 26. At that time, His, meaning God's, at that time, His voice shook the earth. But now He has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more include the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. May God add His blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of His Word. You know, the author of Hebrews took this text that we've just read from the book of Haggai. And if you look at Haggai chapter 2, verse 22, again, we're talking about God here. In verse 22, let's start with 21. Tell Zerubbabel, this is what God is saying, tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. The times are coming. And obviously it's sooner than later as each day passes. And the world being shaken today should remind us of three fundamental truths as found in our text. And the first one is the world as we know it will slip away. Our text teaches that when God spoke from Mount Sinai to Moses and the people in the desert, that his voice shook the earth. And then he made another promise. Not only will I shake the earth again, but I shall also shake the heavens. We need to learn from this portion of our text is that no government or person, no matter how powerful it or he is, can remain on its or his own power forever. The world changes even as it revolves every 24 hours. And the shaking of the world power is not new in the history of the world. Daniel chapter 2 dramatically described the destruction of several kingdoms in a prophetic way through the dream of the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And his dream also revealed the transition of power from governments. They talked about the Babylonian Empire being the head of gold of this stature. And they talked about the Medo-Persian Empire of Darius and Cyrus being the arm of silver. And the Grecian Empire of Alexander the Great being the belly and thighs of bronze. And the Roman Empire of the Caesars being the legs of iron and clay. Each one conquered the other in the chronological reference here. The Persians conquered the Babylonians, the Grecians conquered the Persians, and the Romans conquered them all. But this verse, this chapter goes on to say that the coming of the kingdom of Jesus, the rock upon which we stand, is foretold. Thousands of years before Jesus walked upon this earth, we read in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure. This is the prophet Daniel talking about Jesus coming, Jesus being the rock, Jesus being God's kingdom set up here on earth, and that kingdom will crush all other kingdoms. But it itself cannot be destroyed. And Jesus himself confirmed that he is the rock. In Matthew chapter 21, he says to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has now become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous to our eyes. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." This is Jesus talking. The governments of today, the present world as we know it today, will pass away. And we must place our hope and trust in someone that will last forever, something that will not pass away. We should build our foundation on Jesus because he is the rock. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We can talk about social mores changing and how we have to adapt to the times and how we have to start doing this and then it's okay to do this today. All we want to. And we might convince ourselves and we might convince each other that we're just changing with the times. But God's word tells us that Jesus is the same as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow. And he will remain forever. And upon him we must build our foundation. Kings and rulers may come and go, yet Jesus will remain the same. Friends and family may leave us, yet Jesus will never forsake us. Wealth and fame may be temporary, yet Jesus is forever. Position and power may slip from our hands, yet no one can snatch us from Jesus. Beauty and looks may fade with time, yet those who are children of Jesus will keep the beauty of their hearts forever. The world may persecute us, detain us, imprison us, and even kill us, yet no one can imprison or kill our spirit. We have freedom in Jesus and will emerge victorious in the end, with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, leading us, leading that army of believers as we conquer the world. The second truth found in our text today is that life as we know it will come to an end. Hebrews 12:27 that we read means that the world will be shaken so only the eternal things will last. All those temporary things that are here today will be destroyed, and what will be left will be eternal. So we must not live for earthly things. We must live for eternity. And I can't understand when I talk to people and try to witness to them and they admit that life is temporary. No one has ever come back from death except Jesus Christ. The great Houdini, the magician, promised his mother that he would try to come back and communicate with her. No one has been able to do that. So as I talk to these people and they say, yes, I agree life is temporary. Yes, I agree we are merely passers-by in this earth. Then my question to them is, why are you so worried about earth? Why are you so worried about something that's temporary when you have the opportunity to prepare for eternity? And most of them just shake their head and walk away because they have no answer. They cannot rebut the fact that life is temporary. They cannot rebut the fact that eternity lies with belief in God as our Lord and Savior. So shaking up is not only happening to governments, it's happening to us as individuals, and our very foundation as persons is being shaken. And it shakes, and if it is, if we begin to shift from God's word and make up our own rules and decide it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that, then that begins to shake the foundation that we have in our relationship with God. It shakes our faith. It shakes our church. It shakes our job. It shakes our business, our character, and our entire Christian life. We sometimes forget that the purpose for God is not our own comfort here on earth. The purpose of God is for character development. And if you think about it, that can give meaning to a lot of the shaking that occurs in our life, the injustices. We have to adapt to those. We have to develop some character in dealing with injustices. The poverty. We have to adjust to maybe not having all the financial resources we want to. The sickness that we have, the sickness of our loved ones, we develop character in dealing with those. The heartaches, the bad guys we have to deal with from day to day. If we are a child of God, then knowing God and having that relationship with Him helps us develop the Christian character that we need. We are not comfortable on this earth because we are not of this earth. As Christians and children of God, we are citizens of heaven, and we are only in training here for the development of our character which will last for an eternity. The third truth we should glean from our text today is that relationship with God will remain forever. We talked about governments falling. We talked about life as we know it falling. But the relationship that we as Christians have with God will remain forever. In verse 28 of our text, it teaches us that we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be destroyed. As a child of God and a member of His kingdom, we are part of something that cannot be destroyed. So we must be thankful to God and worship Him with reverence and holy fear and awe, because verse 29 tells us that our God is a consuming fire. And we've talked about this from this pulpit before. We've talked about the fact that God is a holy God, and we've talked about the fact that God never made a promise that has not been fulfilled. And that is what is happening today when we see the world being shaken and personal beliefs being shaken and relationships with God changing. It's because God is calling us for accountability. Think how many, it's been over 2,000 years since He walked the earth. And He's given us the chance for those 2,000 years to repent and to come to Him. And we keep putting it off. And we keep putting it off. And we think, oh, He's a benevolent God. He's a loving God. Yes, He is. But He is a holy God, and He will exact His judgment upon us. And the day is coming, and the signs are all around us. Our relationship with God is the only thing that we can keep forever. In life, we always have choices, things of this world or eternal life with God, luxury of this life or the joy of heaven with God, the praise of men or the approval of God, the acceptance of people or the presence of God, a court with kings and rulers or the sanctuary of God's throne room, the safety of our bodies or the salvation of our soul. Matthew 16:26, Jesus states, "What good will it be for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" No one has convinced me that there's anything on this planet Earth that's worth more than having eternal life with God. And hopefully you can understand that. If you haven't accepted Christ as Savior, then I hope you can understand that all things must pass away. We know that. The world that we know now may be uprooted. Life that we know now may come to an end. Yet one fact is eternally sure: the relationship of God with His children. And if you want to have a close relationship with God, you can pray this prayer and make it your own. "Dear God, I am now convinced I cannot manage my own life without You. I am now inviting Jesus to come into my heart today and be the King and Lord of my life from this day forward. I surrender my life to You today. I accept You as my Lord and Savior. Amen." And we invite you to pray that prayer as we sing our hymn of invitation. And if the Holy Spirit has touched your heart and leads you to come forward, don't put it off. Time is getting shorter. The world's changing. But you can have the constancy of a relationship with God that will lead to eternal life. And we invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 621, "Lead On."